the New York Times and everyone else is like, I can't believe we're leaving Afghanistan and now the Taliban's taking it back over. It's crazy.
I got an absolute unit for you right here, pal.
It's my student loan debt.
That's right. No, it's an absolute unit of measurement. It's they keep it in a vault. It's it's 1 inch.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it's dense.
It's got
it's
a lot
insanely
of
insanely dense.
Really girthy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They keep it in a locked bank vault in France.
I mean, you really might say it's like all girth.
Yeah. I love how teachers really in school would be like would have to convince you that like, yeah, there's like an inch and a centimeter perfectly measured locked away in a bank vault in like Geneva or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you could manage to break in and change that, then everybody else's units of measurement would be wrong. It's like, no, they wouldn't just change it back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't think that's how it is.
Well, it's definitely not anymore because, you know, I think they were probably afraid of that crime happening. So now all those measurements are based on like the number of milliseconds, like how far light travels in some very specific milliseconds.
Some context of like
being a weed dealer and breaking into the measurement vault in order to do a money making scheme to shortchange your clients,
just to sell slightly less weed as 1 gram, and then over a period of years you'll accrue an extra $10,000.
Actually, a gram.
Yeah.
This is what an eighth is. Mm-hmm.
You know, that is
I'm
just
not shorting you.
That feels like some ivory tower bullshit. Where before it was just like a block, and it's like this is 1 inch, and you could pick it up and look at it. And now if it's like, oh, it's like how far light goes in 0.003847 milliseconds. How am I supposed to measure that? Do you think I have a fucking like light measuring
yeah,
device?
Exactly.
Bullshit. I don't
no,
know.
You just
it could
turn
be
on
anything.
The light. Yeah.
It's whatever they say it is.
Yeah.
It's
just whatever.
Look, Chris, if you're not able to simply turn on a light switch and look an inch away from the light and count in your head the milliseconds,
it's
then
like looking at a bulb and switching it back and forth, then you're like, I know I can catch it if I do this enough. I can see it and then I can measure an inch.
Well, the first thing you have to do is take the old light bulb and then put some break the bottom like nub thing off, put a bunch of rice
screw
inside
part.
Shake it all up so it gets rid of the chemicals on the coating inside the light bulb. Then you've got yourself a light bulb that you can vape weed out of.
Oh, that's
okay.
Fun.
Yeah, and then once you vape the weed, but you have to vape a sativa, then you'll be able to measure the light, the speed of light
with your eyes.
Oh, there you go.
In 1 inch. Yeah,
or you could fill it with jet fuel or something and then then put it back into the light bulb and then blow it up.
I don't know. It's been like 10 years since I made a vape out of a light bulb. What do you want from me?
Did you really make a vape out of a light bulb?
That's why I'm so smart now. Yeah. Because I killed a bunch of brain cells. The bad brain cells, the ones that were making me dumber. I killed them by vaping those chemicals out of the light bulb while trying to consume shitty weed in a way that's just slightly different than just rolling it up and smoking it.
So what was like the atomizer or whatever? Like what was the
so you, you
thing
it's
that vapes
like,
it?
You do it basically like smoking like crack. Yeah, you put the weed in the light bulb and then you hold you hold it and then you sip the vapor out. And if you do it just right, if you toast it too much, you'll just burn the weed and you'll just be smoking weed. It'll be like hot knifing. But if you do it just right, the weed doesn't burn. It just vaporizes the THC, like the crystalline THC on the outside of the bud, and you'll get a very clean hit. But you know, the people that are making light bulb vapes are like, I don't know, 18-year-old kids that, you know, they don't...
Like you.
You couldn't just walk into a store and buy a volcano vape back then. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You had to
drive to the store. You had to drive to a larger, better store.
It was far away.
That's right.
Well, that sounds... it sounds very close to freebasing.
Mm-hmm. Basically, this is Joe Biden going way off the rails on the campaign trail. This is what they were afraid of. He was having this conversation with a brick wall in his basement during those months when they were like, Joe Biden staying inside because of COVID.
Oh, yeah, when he was like giving speeches from a green screen.
It looked like a green screen, and it was like, is this even really Joe Biden?
Is he in the hospital?
Yeah, is he dying?
Did you see the video of him where they're like, he's walking into the White House, I think, and there's a guy who's like very clear, like Secret Service guy, is pointing, okay, now you turn in here, but the Secret Service guy keeps walking. But Biden follows the Secret Service guy around to another door and then has to double back in the video. But he's like,
I didn't see it.
He's walking like very confidently the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's like somebody's
that's because he's a Chad. Like
somebody's
Chad
coaching
male.
Him. You know, like they probably have a guy coaching him on how to have dementia and Alzheimer's symptoms, but appear confident while having them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, considering how much Joe Biden has like failed upwards, like been a dumbass and like failed at running for president so many times, and like finally he succeeded, like I feel like he has some kind of like oversized confidence,
oh, yeah,
like gland in his brain. So it doesn't really matter. Like most people, if you are like confused with dementia, it means you're like, wait, what am I doing here? And then you try to figure it out and you like, you know, you have imposter syndrome. But Joe Biden never has that. So he's just like, in the White House suit, everyone's doing what I say. I must be president. Cool. Let's keep riding this out. Yeah. And I'll keep faking it and pretending I'm president.
He's the ultimate fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I feel like we talked about it, you know, back 100 years ago when the election happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does feel like we don't have a government at all. Like there's no president. Like he barely makes appearances. People don't talk about it. I mean,
yeah, his big fucking selling point was like, vote for me and then you can forget who the president is, basically. America will come back.
But silently, they're doing bad shit.
Awful
shit.
They're
terrible. They got the migrant detention camps going. They're pulling out of Afghanistan in a shitty way. Don't get me wrong. They shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
But they're pulling out in a way that's going to get people killed. That's the hubristic failure of the United States doing regime change in a lot of places. They not only do they come for your natural resources, but they come and they're like you also have to like American Dad prime time on Fox 7-8 p.m. Central.
Mm-hmm. You also have to play Pokemon Go and turn all of your mosques into Pokemon Go gyms. Yeah, so that we can place our Pokemon on.
Yeah, you also have to install rolling hot dog heaters in your 7-Elevens and, you know, put Dorito brand cheese on them.
Mm-hmm. Just imagine a guy in full fatigues and he's like taking a kebab or some kind of like traditional Afghanistan food and like throwing it away, and he's like, no, look, Doritos Locos Taco, and like showing it to an Afghanistan guy, and he's like confused and he's smelling it and it smells terrible because it's fake nacho cheese, and he's like, no, good American food, good for you think
the 7-Eleven guys over there have American accents?
Yeah, they do.
Like, because 7-Eleven guys over here have Middle Eastern accents.
Honestly, mm-hmm. One of the things I would have loved to, if I like had a time machine just to see stuff, I would love to go to the Emerald City, you know, mm-hmm. like the green zone, and just like at like the height of the Afghan, like in 2003 mm-hmm. or whatever, and just be like, what was that? Like, what kind of insane, like end of history mall in the middle of the desert? Like just the fact that it happened.
That you could just, because they had like McDonald's and stuff, right? Like American chain restaurants, just walk into a McDonald's and be like, can I get a Big Mac? And then like a guy in fatigues is like, do you want to supersize, sir? And you're like, why not? I'm in Afghanistan. Let's supersize.
Let's go big. Like that art installation that's just, what is it, a Gucci store in the middle of like Arizona in the desert?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a Prada store in Texas. Yeah. But yeah, it's like just on the fucking highway in the middle of the desert.
You
ever seen that? It's cool.
But
it's
I feel like people, like the soldiers talked about how they fucking hated it because they had to work there.
They're like, this sucks. This is like a real job.
I signed up to murder people with an M16 and I'm flipping burgers.
Yeah.
I specifically did this to avoid this.
Yeah.
This is so annoying.
Who cares if I get a healthcare? I still have to do this.
It looks like that.
Yeah, that's like the guys in World War I, I think. There's like all these like old army songs about wanting to fight the Germans, but they have to peel potatoes instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's the equivalent to that,
right? Because World War I was like the first trench war, and what that basically meant was that you would like dig into the ground and then both sides would hide out, because as soon as you like left your trench, you would get like hit with mortar and mustard gas.
Absolutely.
And like, shot with machine guns.
Yeah,
so it's like this really shitty like annoying war of like gradual attrition, because you're just like, well, it's like playing chicken, because you don't want to be the first one to come out of the hole and get killed.
Have that's you guys kind of seen They Shall Not Grow Old?
I never saw that.
That, I think it's, is it Christopher Nolan? It's basically a documentary of all primary source video of World War I, and like really good primary source video.
Yeah, and it's like, colorized
they sound
and shit.
Designed it, they colorized it. I think they upscaled it to like, I don't know if it's... 1080 maybe. Or 4 whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, Peter Jackson, not Christopher Nolan, but yeah, no, cool. It's amazing. It's a total insight into like the way that war like hurts your mind and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Just makes you go fucking crazy.
And it's all told, like all of the dialogue is just interviews from guys who were in World War One. But the the funniest thing is, it's like, yeah, I had trench foot, like all of my friends died, and like my sweetheart like married another guy before I got back. But then like in between those like really sad moments, they tell stories about how they're it's like, yeah, it was just like camping with your boys. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
it's like, fun except for the fighting.
Yeah, it's like short punctuating periods of absolute abject horror and violence, right. And just shell-shocked horror. Mm-hmm. And then that in between that you have just like hours, days, even weeks of just hanging out with your boys.
Mm-hmm. Is World War, so was it mostly Americans and
Brits
and British people?
Some French. I don't know my World War One history. Mm-hmm. As well as
there was Germans.
Other more recent conflicts. Well, World War One was, you know, the Ottoman Empire, mm-hmm. Austro-Hungarians, Franz Ferdinand played a set there. Some other shit like that.
Yeah. That's right.
Kings of Leon opened. They hadn't written Sexes on Fire yet.
Set it up for World War II and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were much heavier back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just sounded like a giant artillery cannon going off.
Mm-hmm. People were wow, this is sounds dangerous. But no, war is really crazy for that reason. Well, especially back then. But yeah. I mean, that's why I really like that movie Jarhead, because it's a movie about war.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't.
It's a movie about war where no war happens, or like no shooting happens. They're just bored all the time and going losing their fucking minds in the Gulf War.
Mm. See, I wouldn't watch that because I fast forward through those parts in the in war movie. Like I'll watch an action movie, I just fast forward through the first 30 minutes. I don't need exposition. Mm-hmm. Just get to like, you know, Steven Seagal guns blazing doing karate. Okay, that's all I give a shit about. That's I watch movies for.
I see
interesting.
No, but it's a good movie. So, but I mean, all these people have just been there for 20 years. I mean, they're cycling them out, obviously, mm-hmm. but they're probably just moving them to Syria, right? Or
oh, you mean like Libya, our troops currently?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing exactly. Like maybe bringing them back home and then like plotting war with China in some way, like sort of indirectly.
Probably getting privatized, right? Mm-hmm. They're probably switching to they're gonna probably keep a skeleton crew of private military contractors back there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That's what it seems like.
Absolutely.
Happening,
yeah. There's, I mean, whatever Blackwater is called now, it's probably mostly what the troops are in most of the places mm-hmm. that we're at war with. Fully privatizing. I mean, most of the actual military is kind of privatized anyway. Like they don't wear, you know, they don't follow any of the rules. They don't wear the American flag patches. They wear like no flag and they wear beards and stuff and they're just murderers mm-hmm. for hire.
The thing with Afghanistan that you always have to remember is like, and I know you guys know this, I'm just saying this, like listeners, the thing that you got to remember is like, it is that way because we made it that way. We made it that way because we wanted the Soviets to get bogged down and screwed over in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And we fucked with these people's heads ideologically and basically created this fundamentalist movement, thinking that it would be the way to defeat the Soviets, you know. And then once the Soviets were like, fuck this shit, we went in there and we were like, oh, you guys were serious about this? No, we want you to be our friends now. And
be extremist. And wait, why are you still so extremist? This is crazy.
Like I said, it's basically always been about resource extraction, but the United States has this ideological hubris when they go into a country like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny, if you look on Wikipedia and you go to list of wars involving the United States, it says war in Afghanistan 2001 to 2021.
So it's over.
Like
now.
They're already saying it's over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if it'll just like keep counting, be like, 2001 to 2022. Mm-hmm. Until there's like nobody there, I guess, or until it's just like, a completely barren desert and everyone's dead?
Well, because all the news stories about, like, you know, you there's like a New York Times headline from today that's as major Afghan cities fall with stunning speed, U.S. ready as evacuation. Like, everyone is like, I can't believe this. The Taliban is taking back over immediately, which is like very expected. Like, I don't even know what kind of government we set up there, but like a government that's propped up by a military occupation, like there's no way it can survive that military occupation leaving the country. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. And the other important thing is the consent of the governed. Like, when mm-hmm, you, right. if you install a government that's specifically just, you know, a handful of ruling elites and, you know, a mix of private military contractors and locals that you pay to enforce whatever you're trying to do, mm-hmm. and then the people you're ruling over fucking hate you, of course it's going to fall apart as soon as your military and your private contractors get the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't Joe Biden bombing Somalia recently? Because I've seen Ilhan Omar tweeting about this, that he's just like bombing Somalia for no clear reason. Probably
interesting.
Ostensibly to like fight ISIS or something.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Good to know.
The group that we fund.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know what the plan is here, but we're basically almost done taking over all of it.
Mm-hmm. On July 20th, Reuters says U.S. military carries out first airstrike in Somalia under Biden.
Okay, but that means we're at war with Somalia.
No, we're like, just military striking. Yeah, it's like, what is a military that's right. strike that's not a declaration of war? Yeah, this country is insane. That,
yeah.
For decades, we've had this, this logic that you can be like, well, we're going to bomb a country strategically, but it's not war. We're just trying to kill.
Yeah, we're
at war with terrorism.
We're you know, doing helpful bombing. Mm-hmm. We're
somebody
just
at the White House
striking.
during White House movie night, Joe Biden was all excited and ready to go. And somewhere along the line, the VHS got switched from Cars 2 to that movie where Tom Hanks gets like his ship taken over by Somalian pirates.
Captain Phillips.
Joe Biden was like, we need to put a stop to this.
Yeah, that's a very funny movie too, because it's like those Somali pirates are cool and good.
I was reading like a tweet about that recently. Yeah, that it's like basically they were like stealing back resources or like something that was just like stolen from their country.
And, yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Like, there's for a lot of the early 2000s, you saw like Somali pirates in movies as like bad guys, mm-hmm. but it was like, what does that mean? Like, nobody really investigated like why there were pirates in Somalia, mm-hmm. or why white people were there shipping stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, do you realize that they're just doing imperialism and then poor people are trying to take it back? And like, yeah. they're like, look at these evil pirates.
Yeah, robbing Tom Hanks. It's so mean of you. Tom Hanks was just there picking up the shipment.
Yeah. So, you know, we're trying to fight Africa now, I guess. And that's mm-hmm. cool.
Well, we're fighting Al-Qaeda, who's trying to take over Somalia.
Oh, okay.
I watched that movie, Olympus Has Fallen. Mm-hmm. Is that the one?
Is that the
where
Morgan
they take
Freeman
over
one?
The
way?
Well, yeah, yeah. well, the thing is, they make North Korea out to be the bad guys, or
yeah,
they make
yeah.
like a separatist movement from North Korea, but like separate oh, okay. from the North Korean government, out to be the bad guys. But the whole time, man. I'm just like, wait a second, yeah.
These guys are cool.
Well, I mean, like, they obviously, when it's a Hollywood movie and it's, you know, consulted on by the national security state.
Of
so
course.
There's all sorts of stuff in the script that's designed to make you hate those guys and love, I think it's Gerard Butler, you know, as he yeah. single-handedly takes out a team of like 50 terrorist commandos.
Mm hmm. That's funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
Also so funny that they couldn't even act. They didn't have the balls to make it the North Korean government. They're like, well, a fictional offshoot of the North Korean government. Real North Korea would never yeah. do this. It's like back in the day, would they ever be like, this guy is a Soviet defector who's fighting James Bond. It was just like James Bond was fighting the Soviets because they were the bad guys.
Yeah. Well, it's funny they pussied out on the remake of Red Dawn, which is about The horror of the Soviets winning the Cold War.
Right. Well, Red Dawn is like they invade America, right? And some high schoolers are like, oh my God, we got to defend ourselves from the Soviets.
Yeah.
And then the remake is just North Korea, right?
No. Well, the thing was that they had, they shot most of the movie as it being China.
Oh, then.
And then Hollywood was like, no, wait.
China watches movies. And they were like, oh, shit.
They had to change it to North Korea, which is weird because North Korea is China's only official ally.
Yeah.
So it's not that much better.
I guess they're like, well, China won't get as mad if you make fun of their like friend. You can't make fun of them directly.
you make fun of my friends.
You fuck with my friends. You can make a movie where I'm the bad guy. I invade America. I kill everyone. But you fuck with my friends.
You could spank me, pull my pants down, like take a shit on my doorstep. Fuck my wife. But the minute you make fun of my friends,
you fuck with
my friend, North Korea. We got fucking beef.
What if instead of Red Dawn, it was Red Dome, and it was getting head but communist?
Yeah. now I'm into that.
Yeah, now I'm on board. Why isn't anyone talking about this?
That's right. Nobody's talking about this. Yeah. This is
BuzzFeed,
the real shit.
Not a single article.
Nobody's talking about Red Dome.
Current affairs. Why will Nathan J. Robinson not write an article about Red Dome? He keeps rejecting my pitches.
Yeah, Red Dome is the structure I'm making over Israel.
Yeah. Look, instead of a pyramid where you got a pointy like single person on top in power and the bottom is like all the exploited workers, you have a Red Dome where it gradually goes up towards the top, which is still connected to the bottom, and it all is a sort of like interconnected mesh.
Right, and everyone's constantly sliding down.
Yeah, it's more of a torus. It's a toroidal shape. It's not really conceivable if you're a capitalist. You can't
exactly.
You can't even imagine this shape.
The properties of a tesseract, because your brain is so caught up in capitalist geometric realism.